you ever wanted to ask God before I do this, before I trust you on this, what level of pressure is it going to involve? And the truth be told, if some of you would have known the level of pressure that came along with parenting, you would have stayed celibate because, hey, you prayed for the baby, but along with the baby came the pressure. Write this down. With privilege comes pressure. And sometimes I see people who want certain privileges, but don't welcome the pressure that comes with the privilege. When we see Paul in 2 Corinthians, we are getting a picture of a minister and a man who is at that point. Have you ever been at that point of pressure where it feels like something is unraveling on the inside of you? I don't necessarily mean it's a clinical breakdown, but Paul is under pressure, he says, from every side. Let's read it again in verse 8 because I think it describes something that maybe you've experienced, maybe not on Paul's level because there's levels to it. But one thing that I have learned is that pressure is relative. So when a 16-year-old gets their heart broken, they don't have the wisdom of experience to know that there will be others. And so it really does feel like they want to die. And a lot of times you minimize other people's misery because you have graduated beyond that season. But if you could find the compassion to remember, there was a time when you too listened to Milli Vanilli Blame It on the Rain 17 times. Oh, just me. When Melissa Hydrick broke up with you. Oh, just me. There was a time when the pressure felt so great. Paul said, we are hard pressed on every side. And that means it was all of the areas at once. All at once. And I believe that the times in our life when we are able to pick our battles and focus our concentration, generally, most of us are able to stand up under pressure if it is coming from one direction. It's when I can't find any relief on any side. Sometimes when I preach, I'll be preaching to one side and then I'll turn to another side and then I'll turn to another side to see, is this helping anybody? And if I can't find any love in the middle, on the right, on the left, sometimes I just turn around and look at LJ because I pay him to look happy. But Paul says it was coming at us from every side. Now understand what this means for Paul, because last week we were talking about Paul on an island called Malta a little later in his ministry. And he's there as a prisoner, and he makes it through a shipwreck. And Luke gives us a picture of Paul that is kind of a heroic portrait because Luke respected Paul so much. And he talks about how Paul got up and gave a motivational speech to the other prisoners about courage and faith in God, no matter the circumstance, and how Paul prayed and had a vision and then relayed that vision to the people to inspire their faith, because sometimes somebody is waiting on you to encourage them, to put courage in them that they don't have right now. And so Paul did that. And then when Paul got to the shore, he gets bit by a snake. Remember, did anybody listen to the message? And watch how cool and calm and collected Paul was on the shore of Malta. The snake didn't even seem to bother him. He didn't rebuke the snake. He didn't cry out to God. He didn't, in the name of Jesus, plead the blood of Christ the Lamb. He just shook it off. So cool. Don't you admire people who are like that, by the way? Don't you hate people who are like that, by the way? Just people people who never get rattled, just people who nothing bothers them, just people who shake stuff off. And Luke is telling us, man, it was amazing. I was there. Paul just shook the snake off into the fire. It was amazing. And they thought he was going to die, and he didn't die, and he just stood there, and they thought he was going to swell up, but he didn't even say anything, and he just stood there. And then he went to Publius's house, and he started healing everybody, and it was amazing. And then Paul went to Rome, and he lived in a rented house for 2 years. And Paul says, wait a minute. It wasn't that easy on the inside. Because what you saw was what I did. But you did not see the doubts that I had while I was doing it. You make it look so easy sometimes that nobody even knows that you need to be encouraged, because you just do that. You just do it. You just pay the bills. You just smile at people. You just dress well. You just walk strong and walk tall and walk proud. But on the inside, Paul said, I was so pressured. I couldn't find relief on the right, on the left, in the middle. I looked up, I looked down, I looked all around. I couldn't find a companion. I couldn't find a helper, but I didn't die at the pressure point. Pressured, but not crushed. So they have sayings that they put out, to encourage you under pressure. And we say that pressure makes diamonds. You ever heard that? Pressure makes diamonds. Raise your hand if you've heard pressure makes diamonds. Pressure does make diamonds, but it also makes dumb decisions. Hello. For real. Pressure does make diamonds, but it also makes divorces. Pressure does make diamonds, but it also can leave you the proud owner of a timeshare. Some of the things you do under pressure. Pressure. I don't think God wants to prevent pressure in our lives, though. I think, let's read it again. I think there's a point to the pressure. And maybe today you have come to that point. Paul describes it. He said in verse 10, we carry around in our body the death of Jesus. It means that I feel like I'm dying inside. That's the kind of pressure that Paul, snake shaker Paul, shipwreck survivor Paul, he says earlier in his ministry, he says, there was so much pressure, I thought I was dying. And he says that I was hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Now, I always heard people shout about that verse, but realize that it's not automatic. You know, when I read that verse, some people are like, yeah, hard-pressed, but not crushed, but that verse suggests that pressure can crush you. Oh, yeah. I've met so many people that let the pressure. I'm thinking of I had a friend whose family had a recycling plant, and you'd see the cans just crushed into these cubes. I have seen people crushed into cubes and melded into a little bit of nothing and sent away and their dreams deferred and their hope crushed because of pressure. So before you shout, I'm pressed but not crushed, realize that if you don't know what to do with the pressure, it will crush you. If you don't know what to do with the snake, the poison will kill you. I'm pressed, Paul said, but I'm not crushed. I'm perplexed, that's mental pressure, but not in despair. I'm persecuted, that's pressure from other people, but not abandoned. I'm struck down, but not destroyed. Now I see a contrast. It is the contrast between what is pushing on Paul and what is pushing in Paul. Can I preach a little bit? I'm gonna help you today. because your pressure is trying to point to something. And so many times in my life, listen, I'm gonna help you. So many times in my life, the reason that I was under pressure is because I was full of pride. He said, we have this power, this treasure in earthen vessels or vessels of clay, an ordinary vessel. And it's an extraordinary power. And so I'm an ordinary person with an extraordinary promise of the presence of God. But sometimes I get confused and I forget that I'm just the pot. I'm not the power. And sometimes I get so burdened because I put the weight of the world on my shoulders and carry a cross that I'm not strong enough to carry that has already been carried for me. So I'm under pressure sometimes because I'm full of pride. And sometimes, not all the time, pressure comes into your life, not because of what you're handling, but because of how you're handling it. You forgot your source and you lose your strength. And pressure sometimes points to pride in your life. Thank you so much. God gave it to me. I can't preach anything God doesn't give to me. And God gave this to me. And you know, and I think that way is so much easier to preach. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you today. If I don't help, if I help three people, email me. Three people at elevationchurch.org. Three people that I help today. If you're one of the three, it's going to be email address. Three people at elevationchurch.org. I'm going to help three people today who are under pressure. Because when pressure comes, some of us begin to perform to a standard that we have projected that isn't even true to our purpose. I saw it like this. I can't say it again, Mom. I don't even know what I said. I hope you wrote it down. My mom said, say it again. I can't. I don't know what I said. It just came out. But maybe I could illustrate. You know, I've been preaching a lot in the last year about the gap. I've been preaching this message really all over the country. All over the world, I guess, about the gap. And it's the gap between where I am and where I want to be, where I am and where I used to be. And I've kind of been defining it. I think I'm going to keep preaching it because it continues to speak to me that there are two gaps in my life. One is for my gratitude and one is for my growth. Got it? One is how far I've come, look back, makes me grateful. Can't stay there too long, though, because I got to grow or I die. But this week, I was seeing a different gap in my mind. And it's the pressure gap. It's the pressure gap. Again, I'm not saying that all pressure is bad, but there is a type of pressure that is rooted in pride and manifest in performance. And this is it. This is the gap between who I think I need to be and who I believe I really am. Stay right there with me, because when you think you need to be something that you secretly believe you are not, the pressure is crushing. When you secretly believe that you need to have an ability, that you need to have a strength, that when you secretly think, this is what I do all the time, okay? Therapy session, bill me. Holly says I do it. She says that I got it from my dad. And he's not here anymore, so he can't defend himself. So we talk about this genetic stuff all the time. But my mom is perfect. She's right over there in the front row. Holly says, you got to quit drawing thought bubbles on other people. She says, you project expectations on people that they don't even have of you. And you disappoint imaginary expectations that don't even really exist. Can you believe my wife would talk to me like this? She didn't read that verse about submit, woman, that Bible verse. But she's right. She's right. I do it all the time. And then guess what I do? Because of the pressure, I start blowing up and exploding at people with frustration because of rejection of expectations that they didn't even have. So now I'm mad on the inside and I'm walking around with all this combustible pressure. What do you want from me? And people are like, nothing, man. One time I was getting up to preach, and when the podium comes out, we have some traditions here at Elevation Church that people come. My little pulpit comes out like right at a certain moment during a certain song. It's just little things we do because it has to get out here at some time. So we just put it out there right then. And they were carrying the pulpit out. And I felt this weird pressure to perform. And God spoke to me. When you were 16, did I call you to be a performer? And the moment I realized that I was projecting an expectation that was not from the heart of God, the pressure left the building. And I was free to preach. But it was right when that pulpit was coming out and they were doing the last song, and Chris was hitting the high note, and it was a pressure point. I wonder what it is for you.
Hey, thank you for watching. Make sure you subscribe to this channel so you don't miss a single video or live stream. And share this video with a friend. And don't forget, you can join me live every Sunday. Thanks again for watching.